Hi, my name's Jose, and I have my lovely wife Sylvia here, and this is our first podcast ever. So hopefully it runs smoothly, and we get some good content in. That way we keep doing these. We're gonna be talking about our trip to Seattle that we just recently came back from. Good times, right?
Yeah, it was a great trip. I think it was pretty successful. We got to do a lot of stuff there, got to see a lot of things, and
I think we should start, right?
yeah.
So first off, we flew in on Saturday, and the first thing we did was, besides going to the room and sleep, of course, we went to a Mariners game on Sunday, which was really cool, right?
Yeah, it was Toronto Blue Jays were in town against the Mariners. So, what was the first thing that was super surprising was there were so many Blue Jays fans there.
Yeah, that was really my first taste of the Canada life, like being in an area of very concentrated Canadian people.
Yeah, they had a lot of them had taken the ferry in from like Vancouver and other surrounding areas to come see the game. So that was crazy. That was my first experience with that many. We're surrounded everywhere by Canadians, all rooting for the Blue
Yeah,
Jays.
'cause we went to the stadium and it was like 50-50 at least.
At
Like there
least.
was at least like I mean cheering was going on for both teams, and
Yeah.
you could feel the presence of them there for sure. And so my first encounter with the Canadian was when we checked into our room, and the guy was being pretty snobbish. And I always thought, because of the Michael Moore documentary where he says that like Canadians don't lock their doors, and like he goes up to a door in Canada and sure enough it's not locked. I'm like, oh, these are trusting people,
Nice, you
yeah, they
know.
must be nice. And I always thought that, but this guy was very rude to the lady
The
at the
door.
desk. Yeah, so after that, we pretty much kept to our own, right?
It was at the game though they were nice at the game. I think the guy at the hotel he just seemed a little trashy. Maybe he was actually drunk, I don't know. But at the game they were pretty nice. They were really like they weren't swearing or anything like that, and a lot of little kids were there. So it was cool, but yeah, I think it was like 60-40, like Blue Jays to Mariners fans. But yeah. What else did we do at the game? It was like we ate a lot of food at
Oh yeah, so I was
the
like, I make the worst decisions when it comes to like picking food on an empty stomach. So like I see people with these long red vines. I'm like, ooh, I want one of those. It doesn't seem too bad, like of a portion. But I couldn't find it. So I go to the stand and they have a big bag of red vines. And like I give one to my wife and I polish off the rest of them like it was nothing. And I'm like, oh man, I feel fine, but I don't think this is gonna settle like very well. And sure enough, it didn't. But after that, like I was still hungry, so I got fries and chicken tenders.
Yeah, and then we started the meal with ice cream. We went backwards. We were having dessert first. I had to get an ice cream helmet because I collect those.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big baseball fan, so every new stadium I go to, this was my 14th stadium, by the way, Safeco Field in Seattle. So I got my ice cream helmet, and that's how we started the meal, which is like a really backwards way to start everything, like putting ice cream first and then cramming red vines
But we
and
had to get it because
yeah.
we weren't sure we were gonna find it somewhere else.
Yeah, no, you're not gonna find it anywhere else.
So
So
and we had to eat it because it's
had to
ice
eat it.
cream, it's gonna
Yeah.
melt.
And we had to get a souvenir cup. It's another thing I don't always collect them, but whenever I go to a new stadium, if there's a souvenir cup with like the name of the team or like players, I always get it, and we got one of those too. We had like a Pepsi one or whatever, so it was cool. But yeah, we ate a lot, and yeah.
So like yeah, we ate all that stuff, and then the Mariners
Yeah,
won.
Mariners won. They hit like three home runs, I think. Yeah,
Yeah.
they won like 6-3 or something. I can't remember the score. But yeah, I'm good luck to the home team. Whenever I visit a new stadium, I always end up like be watching the home team win, except for the daughters play.
Yeah, I think she's keeping like a voodoo doll in her purse.
Maybe
of the lead player of the opposing team.
Yeah, so it was cool. It was a good game, and yeah, we went home, and that's when is that the night we had the Woodlands pizza? I think.
Oh yeah,
because we hadn't eaten enough.
So yeah, my stomach was like over. I was like feeling terrible, and usually when I have pizza, it gives me, you know, the runs. It just tears me up inside. But we went to this pizza, place called the Woodlands.
Woodlands pizza, yeah.
And it was like therapeutic. Like the pizza like fixed my stomach.
Yeah.
Like it was, and it was the most delicious pizza I've ever tasted. And like my wife tells me not to like talk like that because we've been to Chicago, we've tried the deep dish, we've tried everything pretty much that LA has to offer.
Yeah, much pizza.
But I mean, like, I think what did it for me on this pizza, and I preferred the pepperoni the first day. We had it again, but with different flavors. But we tried the pepperoni the first day. It was the oil. Like, the oil from it, like, the juiciness of it. It just tasted fabulous.
Yeah, and the crispy crust was perfect. I really like a crispy. I like the deep dish. I like the big, thick crust. But this one had a really crispy crust, and it was really good. I liked it. We ate the whole pizza. Yeah. And a salad.
And a salad,
well, it
yeah.
was a few hours after the game, so it was time for dinner.
Yeah.
So then what was after that? After that was, then that brings us to Monday, right? That was the big...
Yeah, on Monday we slept in. We did a lot of sleeping on this vacation. Which
vacation should be restful.
Yes. I thank you for planning it out that way. I would have been, like, tore up from the floor up if, like, I didn't get enough sleep.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we slept in, and then it was the Space Needle.
Yeah, I took an Uber down to the Space Needle, and...
And you had just gotten back from New York, right?
Yeah. I'd gone by myself to New York the previous weekend, or week and a half, or whatever it was, and I had...
Hang on, give me 1 second. I'm just going to check the audio's okay.
Okay.
All right, levels are good. So yeah, talking about my wife's trip to New York and how she, what I wanted to get at was your, when you went up to, on that tall building and there was like nothing there.
Yeah, I had, went with a friend of mine, Amanda. We went to the top of the New World Trade Center in New York, the 2 weekends before that. And it was just zero visibility, they kept telling us. Like, it was just so much rain and fog and you couldn't see anything. So I was pretty bummed. I was praying and hoping that it would be better in Seattle, and it was gorgeous. It was like the most clear, perfect, sunniest day ever. You could see for miles and miles. It was like the best day to go up the Space Needle. We had to wait a while to get up there. It was a long wait and it was kind of hot, but once we went up to the Space Needle, it was like perfect.
Yeah, we really went on the perfect time because that city is like all I ever heard. Like, the first thing people tell me, like, yeah, it rains a lot.
Yeah.
And like, I, ever since like the grunge days where all those bands came from there, like all I would hear is like, yeah, the rain really motivated the influence in grunge because like they were all like, you know, sad and stuff.
Depressed. Yeah.
So like being there, and like we were there for what, 5 days?
Yeah, 5 days.
We were there for 5 days and it didn't rain at all, not once, and it was just great. So we're at the top of the Seattle Space Needle, and you could see close up, like there was a park right there that was really cool for kids to play at. You could see the kids playing. And you could see the water, the ocean, yeah, the sound,
see,
right?
Yeah, Puget Sound. You could see Union Bay, and all like the surrounding, you know, peninsulas or whatever from there. It was really nice. It was like just you couldn't ask for a better day. And once we got down, we made our way over to Pike Place, right? I think that was the public market and fish market down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, Pike's Place.
Yeah.
So at Pike's Place, we did a lot of walking for sure.
Oh yeah, and we forgot to put on sunblock, so we did get a little sunburnt.
Yeah.
A lot of sun. but
After Space Needle, we went to Pike's Place. We saw the gum wall.
Yeah, we saw the gum wall. We went to Post Alley, and that's where you can find the gum wall. We didn't have any gum on us, so we didn't get to stick any gum on there. But I
What's the gist? Like, you make a wish when you get there?
I have no idea. I didn't really read into too much.
I saw, like, some pictures people, like...
made out of gum, right?
Or, I don't know. They stuck it up on the wall. Like, you know those booth pictures?
Oh, okay.
I saw a couple of those.
Oh, that's weird. It's just gross, the thought of, like, sticking gum on there that other people have stuck on there.
Yeah, I kind of wanted a hand back.
Yeah. I didn't touch any part of that wall, and any picture I took in front of it, I was not very close to it, so... Yeah, so we did that in Post Alley and went down to the public market, the fish market. Everybody had told us over and over again, you gotta go to where the guy tosses the fish or yanks the fish and he scares you or whatever. We walked by a couple times and each time they weren't doing anything, so they were like just, I don't think they were in...
It was later in the day, yeah, maybe. So maybe like the fish throw, we missed that window.
Probably did, yeah.
You know, like I would imagine like, they do that really early in the day.
It was really crowded, too. There was people everywhere. Yeah. Walking around was horrible. It was hot. we did make time to, like, go down to the... What was the thing there?
Well, first off, we passed by. We didn't go into the first
Starbucks. Oh, yeah, the first Starbucks. That's right. I was like, why was it so hot and crowded? Because everybody was at the Starbucks.
Yeah, there was, like, a line going out the door, and I'm like...
And inside was huge, too.
In my head, I'm just like, this place is like any other Starbucks.
It really is.
It's not like they have something going taste-wise that is going to, like...
Yeah.
That worth the line and stuff.
They all taste the same, so.
Yeah, so I was just like, you know what? I could get coffee. Well, I had gotten coffee at the McDonald's by the Space Needle. So I wasn't wired because it takes a lot to get me there, but I was good. So I was just like, you know what? Let's look for food.
Yeah.
And like, all right, so we're going to start talking about how this search for food brought us to the dilemma that we couldn't find clam chowder or fish and chips to save our lives.
Yeah. We, like, found one clam chowder restaurant. There was one clam chowder restaurant.
Line out the door.
And it looked expensive, too. And we were like, is this the only clam chowder place? Like, no wonder they can have this big old line because there's, like, no other competition. They're the only clam chowder place. And it was like, forget it. We're not going to wait in that line. We'll eat somewhere else. We tried to go to a hot dog stand that was there. And once we decided we wanted to eat there, they were closing.
Yep.
And a pizza place had been recommended to us. But we were all pizzaed out because, you know, we'd already had Woodlands the night before. So we weren't really feeling like pizza. And at one point, Jose sees this man handing out cheese. And he's like, let's get some free cheese. And so we go to get some cheese. And the guy's like, excuse me, guys. This is for our tour group only. And we got denied cheese. Yeah.
I felt bummed out. Like, my hand, like, reached for the cheese. Like, it was the claw in the vending machines and stuff. Going for the plush toy. And, of course, I wasn't going to get it. Like, this guy just, like...
He curbed me,
like, real hard. He's like, Sarsha, this is for, like, the people that paid for it only.
It was a wine and cheese tour of Seattle, apparently, that we had no idea about. So I was like, okay, sorry.
And I'm the type of guy that, like, if I'm refused something, I'm like, no, I want to buy a pound of your fucking cheese right now. Like, I was enraged. I was, like, not having it, but then... I don't know. We needed actual food because a pound of cheese, like, for sure was going to give us a run. So. Yeah.
So we had some mini cheesecake things there.
Yeah.
Speaking
of cheese, we had some cheesecake.
And it was really good. But yeah, we ended up having to go back to our, back to where we were staying at to eat. What was dinner for that day? That was, Salvadorian food.
Oh yeah. So we go back to the hotel and we're like, all right, well, let's see if we could huff it somewhere in the area and get some food. So we started looking at restaurants and my wife really wanted a burger. So I'm like, hey, there's a spot not too far from here.
Called Burger Masters.
Burger Masters. And, you know...
Shout out to Burger Masters.
Shout out to Burger Masters.
Even though we didn't go there.
You know, we wanted to.
We really were going to.
It was like, what, a 10-minute walk?
It was a 10-minute walk. And we were at 8 minutes. And we saw the... El Patio,
which is this restaurant called El Patio that wasn't on the maps on Apple Maps, so it must have been a new restaurant.
It must have been a really new restaurant. It looks like it was an old diner that was converted into like just a Salvadoran restaurant. Well, it was Central American, but they also had Mexican food and Colombian food.
So you could have, like, the menu was really big. It had, like... The
menu was
like,
huge.
Yeah, it had, like, 4 pages, and then it was front and back.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got...
2 pupusas.
Which I should have got that, because I ordered a bunch of food.
Yeah, I got 2 pupusas, I got revueltas. It was weird, because they had them... They had 2 kinds of revueltas, which I'm not used to. I'm just used to just pork and, I guess, chicharrón, maybe? But in this one, they had cheese and beans and pork. I don't know. It was just weird. They didn't have it billed as chicharrón. So, I don't know. I was like, just give me whatever you guys have. And it was delicious. It was good. I think the LA pupusas are better, but I think I'm just biased. Well, Salvadoran pupusas are the best, actually. And then you get your LA pupusas, which are really good. And Seattle's pupusas, to their credit, were pretty good. It tasted pretty authentic. It was all, Latino staff there. So I think they know what they're doing. And then what did you have?
I had a torta of carnitas and I had like a slice of thick ham, with like lettuce and tomato. And, it was really good and filling. And on the side, I ordered a plate of pastelitos, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They look like empanadas, though.
Yeah, they look like little empanadas. It was 3 pastelitos. I ate one, and then I was, like full. So, we took the other 2 home, which we ate later on.
Yeah.
On the trip.
Yeah. So, that wraps it up for Monday. Then Tuesday was our big boat day.
Yeah, man. You know how, like, you go to some places and you want to go on a boat. And, like, you're like, all right, let's make this happen. I want to go on a boat, like, here in LA or something. And they just charge, like, an arm and a leg. But we went on a ferry in Seattle. And how much was it, babe?
It was, like, $8 or less, I think.
Well, like, if you figure the trip back, because the trip back is free. And the trip there was $8.
Uh-huh.
So it's like you're really only paying 4.
Yeah, it was like a $8 round trip to Bremerton. That's where we took the ferry out.
And if you're driving, you could take your car on the ferry, but it costs a lot more. But yeah, if you're just going, like, you know, you're taking Ubers or you're taking the bus, like, yeah, it was we walked on there and it was $8 to go and come back to from Seattle to Bremerton. And yeah, it was an hour ride over there and an hour ride back.
Yeah.
So it's like an hour 2 hours of on a boat looking at all the beautiful houses and scenery and boats that
on the Puget Sound.
On the Puget Sound, yeah. And it was great. Like, I was just sightseeing the hell out of that ride, right?
Yeah, it was great. It was beautiful. And it was perfect weather, another perfect day.
Yeah.
Bremerton had even better weather. They're a peninsula. They're not an island. I had originally thought we were going to go to Bainbridge when I was doing my research, but Bainbridge didn't really offer too much sightseeing. Bremerton is a peninsula, so you just go to a different part of Washington State, and it was really nice. They're a really, you know, maritime to the max there. I mean, it's a seaside town there, and it was originally a town that was dedicated to the naval shipyards and building navy boats for the U.S. Army. So that's how the town was founded, with that intention. And then the town kind of like exploded from there and really like grew from there. So you have this very like deep-rooted like naval like flavor to it, and it's you know, that's where their history is like rooted in. And we took a tour of their Navy Museum, which was free, which was awesome. So we got to play around with a lot of stuff and learn about the Navy and how sailors work, and, you know, how, you know, people there built ships for them, for the U.S. Army. U.S. Navy. And then after that, we took a tour of the USS Turner Joy.
It was $16 a pop. Yeah. So I was gonna, you know, get my money's worth. I was trying to sink that ship.
Yeah, I mean, for $16, I was like, this better be. And it was a self-guided tour, so I was like, we're paying $16 to teach ourselves about this boat. I better learn every single thing I can about this boat. And they're actually pretty good. Yeah, I mean, even though we had to like see it ourselves, it was really easy to get around. You know, there were some tight spaces here and there and some really like narrow stairways here and there, but nothing impossible.
I for sure thought someone was gonna eat a pile of dong heap.
Me, I thought I for sure was gonna fall down because I'm really clumsy and I'm always bumping into things. And a couple of times I did kind of scrape the back of my leg on
most of the time she was coming down the stairs, I was like right underneath, just waiting to catch her, or like, you know, I tried, babe. You were on your way down. There wasn't much I could do, but I'm here for you. You
caught me. So yeah, the USS Turner Joy is the one we're talking about with all the tight spaces and tight ladders and stuff. It's a decommissioned naval destroyer.
Didn't you say you have a friend that's a dad?
Yeah, I just found out my friend Lindsay, her dad was a sailor on that Navy ship, and he's actually going to a reunion in September. So I think they had some guys, Vietnam War vets. I saw a couple of those guys were actually on the boat with us. If you notice, they were taking the tour with us. We're walking around behind and in front of us. So that was really neat for them. They got to see like their old haunt, like their old boat where they used to like, you know, hang out. So that's what the USS Turner Joy is. It's this big Navy, this old like decommissioned naval destroyer. It did a lot of, if it's most famous work, I guess, during the Vietnam War, during the Gulf of Tonkin.
Viet fucking Nam!
So that's how it got mostly famous, I think. The Gulf of Tonkin, fight or whatever you want to call it. Battle, I don't know what you want to call it. So that's where it got most of its, like, heat or whatever you want to call it. And it got, like, decommissioned, I think, in, like, the 90s or late 80s, early 90s. They closed up shop and then just parked it there in Bremerton, and it's just been sitting there, and now it's a living museum now. And that's what we were doing. We're walking around touching a bunch of knobs and levers and pulling things and going in the boiler room, going in the engine room, and learning how it works. So it was pretty neat. Jose got to pretend he was a soldier. I mean, a sailor.
A sailor, yeah. I slept in one of the bunks.
Yeah.
Which was really cool.
You were, like, looking in the bathrooms, too. You were, like...
Yeah, well, I used one of the bathrooms.
Yeah, you actually used the restroom.
They have working restrooms on that boat. I'm like, it was really cramped.
How many people can say that? How many people can say they've taken a piss on a Navy ship? Cool. Not only the sailors and you now, I guess, and other people.
it was cool.
Yeah. Like, so, and then we kept our it was lunchtime by then, so we kept our quest to try to find clam chowder and fish and chips, and it was a total bust. Nothing in Bremerton. There was a seafood restaurant named Anthony's, but they were trying to charge us $17 a plate for fish and chips, so I said no.
Yeah.
I don't know, I guess I'm just used to like getting it in LA or San Francisco for like a lot cheaper, because...
You know, we went to that Salvadorian restaurant, and the main dinner plates were like $17, $18 too, which is a bit much, that's why we got... The pupusas were like $10, right?
Yeah. Like less than $10 for two.
Yeah, and my torta was like $10, but I was like, you know, I'm freaking starving, like I'm running on red vines. So I was like, give me the pastelitos, which was like another $4. And so most restaurants in the area, like the pizza place too, right?
Yeah.
It was like 15 for the pizza, and the salad was like 7.
Everybody's going to find out how cheap we are and how we hate paying a lot of money for food.
You know what? I went prepared. I'm like, I brought money. I got my cards. Like, I want to make this worth it, you know, like. Let's eat good, you know?
Yeah. I just know how much things cost here, so I get annoyed when I go to a different city and they're trying to charge me like 3 times
that.
For the same thing, so that's why I don't want to just... Okay, I want fish and chips, but I'm not also going to just buy pay an arm and a leg for it.
Yeah, like if I'm paying $20, I want to get something that just like It's mind blowing. Like, yeah. Or it's like part of where I'm at.
Yeah. Or super unique or something.
Yeah, or unique. Yeah.
We ended up stopping at a diner called the Sweet and Smoky Diner. And got burgers and fries there. So I finally got to have burgers.
Oh, the one that...
the jerky place.
Yeah. There was a few things that threw me off, but the lady was super nice. And yeah. I just loved, like, the atmosphere of it, that it was, like, in this small town.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's just, like, you know, like, it had that vibe where it was special.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not going to talk crap. I'm just going to talk about the good things.
Yeah.
First off, was the lady that was running it.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to ask her name. So she's really sweet. She's been living there in Bremerton for, like, a long time. She's been there for, like, over 20 years. Like, 25 years or something. I forgot how long she said she's been there, but...
Yeah, she said she retired here in California.
In Palm Springs.
And she must have moved to Seattle because, like, in my head, I'm thinking, well, her husband must have died. And she wanted to be with family. Because but she, who knows. Yeah, but who knows? Like in LA, you always hear, "Oh, they divorced," you know. But like, I don't think that was the case with this lady.
Yeah, she wanted to open up her own diner, and she says that she one of her sons cooks or something, and makes the jerky there, and he's a butcher or something.
That's why I thought that. I'm like, oh, she had family in Seattle, yeah, so maybe. You know, she wanted to be close to family.
Yeah, so she was maybe, like, super sweet.
Yeah, she was so nice.
And the food was decent. Jose got jerky afterwards too, because she was selling jerky.
Yeah, so you could buy by the pound. It was like $25. But I'm not about to eat a pound of jerky. So I'm like, can you just, like, cut me a small piece? And it was, like, 50 cents or something. And, like, I got the spicy one. It was really good. It wasn't, like, the stuff you get at the gas station. And they had, like, awards all over their walls.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, yeah, they got recognition. They know what they're about.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And then we took the ferry home. We took the ferry back to Seattle. I fell asleep, and I totally drooled on Jose.
Oh, yeah, she fell asleep on my lap. And then, like, as she's getting up, I'm like, did she drool on my leg?
I did.
And there was, like, a big old blob of drool on my leg.
That's gross. I'm sorry.
It's all right. I had a napkin.
I was so tired. I think just the sun exposure and walking around all over Bremerton and all those tours, I was, like, really knocked out. I was like, how am I going to survive this tour? Because we had one more tour at the end. So we get back to Seattle, and right there at Pier... right next door to Pier 52, we walk over to the Bill Spiegel's underground tour of Seattle. So that was our, like, more historical thing about Seattle. I was like, how am I going to survive this because I'm so tired? But I found the energy. I just needed to rest for a little bit. And then we took this underground tour of Seattle, which was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Seattle, like, the history there is that they, back in when they were founded or around the time that they were starting up, a big old fire happened, and it leveled the whole city, so they had to build a new Seattle on top of that, and, you know, they had, like, no sidewalks for, like, years and years, and their plumbing system was horrible.
So the tour guys are explaining all this, but they're being funny about it, like,
yeah.
Like, horrible things are happening to the town, but, you know, they're keeping it light, you know, they're making fun of the whole thing.
Yeah. And so, that's how you get these underground tunnels in Seattle. That the new city was built on top of it. You have the old city on the bottom, and that's what we took a tour of. There had some existing, like, you know, caverns here and there. Like, it wasn't so claustrophobic like I thought it was gonna be. Like, I thought it was gonna be really, like, tight turns and stuff, but it was actually not too bad. It was very nice and a little spooky at times, and they showed us a spot where somebody had seen a ghost, and they showed us the picture of the ghost, supposedly. And yeah, I think that one point where we walked in, it was, like, really cold, I remember, and I was like, yeah, this feels like there might be a ghost in here, whatever that's gonna feel like. But yeah, it was pretty neat, and yeah, so it was a really adult-oriented tour, so they had a lot of, like, dirty jokes and stuff, and a lot of toilet humor, because there was a lot of toilet problems in early Seattle. So I don't want to get into it, because it's like, you probably should check it out. That's definitely something that if you're ever in Seattle, you should definitely do this tour, because you're going to learn a lot. And there's a lot of historical
I learned background. About the crapper.
Oh, yeah, the crapper.
So, like, I think I might have heard about this before, but they were talking about how the toilet of the day was a toilet invented by a guy named the Crapper. Or his last name was Crapper.
Yeah, John Crapper or something.
John Crapper. I'm like, wait, is that where we get crap from?
Probably.
Right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it has to be.
They, like, sent all these toilets over to Seattle and, like, had, like, no good way of, like, hooking them up. And their, like, plumbing system was made out of wood or whatever. Yeah, it tripped me out. I'm like, what?
That sounds like a bad idea from the get-go.
Yeah, and they had, like, really... They didn't take into account the high tides in Seattle.
Well, you know what it was? It was a lumber town. So they must have been like, well, we got tons of stuff.
We got tons of wood laying around. Yeah. That's why the city burned so hard and so fast when the fire started. It was all made out of wood. I don't think they learned their lesson because they still kept making things out of wood. But, yeah, it got better. So it was pretty neat. Yeah, the Underground Tour was dope.
Yeah, definitely.
So that was Tuesday. And then finally, Wednesday was our last day there.
Yeah, so Wednesday, we went to Starbucks like 10 times.
Yeah, there's Starbucks everywhere. You think there's a lot of Starbucks in the town that you live in or where you're from? But you've got nothing on Seattle. LA's got nothing on Seattle. I don't think any city has as many Starbucks as Seattle does.
Rightfully so.
Well, it makes sense. That's where it comes from. So, yeah. So we had Starbucks for breakfast again.
You know, and they had a bunch of other coffee shops too. And I'm like,
yeah.
I felt conflicted.
Yeah.
Because, like, I like to support local businesses. But I'm like, well, Starbucks was a local business once upon a time.
At least, yeah, at least.
Before they put bread into bags.
Yeah. Well, and I don't even drink coffee, so how do you think I feel? Like, okay, we're going to a coffee shop again. I'm like, I guess I'm not getting coffee. But Starbucks is great about having good iced teas and good hot chocolates and smoothies and sandwiches. So I really, you know, I don't go there and ever walk away like disappointed. Their lemonades are good. Their shaken iced tea lemonades are really good. So
Starbucks.
So don't feel bad for me. So we had Starbucks we had to wait for 2 hours because they were cleaning our room.
Yeah, they were cleaning our room. We kind of woke up late.
Yeah.
And the night before, I didn't sleep well because I kept thinking about my friend Angel. And he made a joke in passing that didn't hit me until, like, weeks later. I was just, like, I was holding back the laughter. He had made this joke about how Lambo, you know, Lamborghinis, but abbreviated as Lambo. And it sounds like in Spanish, the word Lambo means licking. So he's like, yeah, Lambo culo, which means licking ass. You know, not to sound too crude, but, like, yeah, it threw me off, but it really made me, it gave me the giggles that night in Seattle, and I was just, like, laughing. I couldn't sleep. So that was a bad night in a good way. And then the next day, we go to Starbucks. We do that. And then we were just chilling the whole day.
Just chilling the whole day because Pearl Jam was one of the reasons we went to we took this trip was to see a Mariners and all that fun Seattle stuff and Space Needle, but the heart and soul of the trip really was to see Pearl Jam
in their hometown,
the home shows in their hometown Seattle. So I didn't want us to do too much any sightseeing that day because we were gonna need our strength and to stay awake for Pearl Jam because I knew it was gonna be a long night, and I was right. So we chilled. We just watched TV and stuff. And
we had an early dinner at Woodlands.
So Woodlands is so good. We highly recommend it. Shout out to Woodlands on Aurora 99. They are some of the best pizza we've ever had. We went there twice just because
it was so good.
The second
time we had the pizza called the 6-4.
Mm-hmm. The 6-4 Impala. We had half of that.
Half of that. And the other half was the Italian Stallion.
So 6-4 Impala was... some good cheese, some chicken, and I forget what else.
The other one had the drizzle of the...
Oh, yeah. The drizzle of, balsamic.
Balsamic.
Balsamic vinaigrette or whatever with arugula and some, like, not pepperoni. I think it was, like, salami or something. It was something Italian, like a cured meat. Like, I don't know. But it was a prosciutto. I can't remember. Anyway, it was, like, really good. So we did a half and half pizza and another little salad. And it was really good. Shout out to them if you're ever in Seattle, check them out. Woodlands Pizza, it's worth the drive. I know it's kind of not in the city center or whatever, but who cares? You should, if you're ever there.
Well, like, you figure if you're trying to travel in a budget too.
Yeah.
Like, that little section was a little dodgy.
Yeah.
But like you walk a few blocks and it's like beautiful.
Beautiful.
It had like a lake you could run around and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. The area we were staying in was like the Aurora, North Seattle area, and it was really nice. Yeah, the place we were at, we're staying at a travel lodge, so it's kind of a little dodgy. There was some other way uglier motels up the street, and I think there was some prostitution going on.
Yeah,
some pimp
yeah.
prostitution activity going on, and a lot of like homeless people like kind of milling about here and there. But like Jose said, he would go up one block, you know, turn on another block, and it was like picture perfect, like residential scenic areas, bunch of families there.
It was
kind of
like here in L.A. Like,
yeah, you just get off the boulevard.
Yeah.
Literally, we saw women walking the boulevard. So anyway, and then the next block over, it's like picture perfect with little families and stuff. So that's weird. So yeah, Pearl Jam was that night.
Yeah, which was awesome.
Awesome. I'm the big Pearl Jam fan, if you can't tell. So I kind of dragged Jose to this, but Jose likes Pearl Jam too now.
I like Pearl Jam.
I took him to a Pearl Jam concert.
I've bought very few albums in my day.
Yeah.
But when I would buy an album when I was younger, I would always get the best of.
Greatest hits.
The greatest hits, because it was more bang for your buck. You're going to get the bangers.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the best of Pearl Jam in my day, and, you know, I enjoyed the hell out of it.
I think it's Rearview Mirror, right? I think that's the name of the album.
Yeah.
I have that album, too.
I remember buying it. It was, like, at a Borders bookstore.
Yeah, it's a double album.
Double album.
Every single hit.
Yeah, it has
every
the
single
hits.
Hit.
I can't pass this up.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot for me to get an album. Like, I have a lot of music that I've got over the years and lost and got back. But, yeah, that was definitely one that I enjoyed thoroughly.
Yeah, it's a good one. Mine's all scratched up, so now when I listen to it on my CD player on my car, it's, like, really bad. So I might just reburn an album. Or maybe I'll rebuy it, since everyone's
listening. I'm sure you could get, like, an eBay...
Yeah, probably.
...version. Not too bad.
So, yeah, I'm the big Pearl Jam fan. I love them. Always have. And I took Jose to a Pearl Jam concert, like, 4 years ago at the LA Sports Arena, and they were so good. And I was like, please tour again. It takes them a while to start touring again. They got a new album out, one more since then. And so they're doing these home shows, raising money for, homelessness in Seattle.
Yeah.
So that was great that all the proceeds from the shows were going to that, or, you know, a large percentage was going to that. So that's great. I love a band like that. They're really socially conscious and socially aware, and they're always trying to do the right thing. And it's great that they're giving back to the community like that. The show was fantastic. It was at Safeco Field, so we went back to the baseball stadium. And our seats were decent. I mean, I wasn't expecting, being up close and personal or anything like that. But it was fine. As long as I could hear the band, as long as I could hear Eddie and the guys, they were great.
Everybody, yeah, you get a good experience no matter where you're sitting.
Yeah, no matter where you were sitting, it was decent. And it was a great set list. I mean, I wish I could have gone to the second night because they got Jeremy. They did Jeremy, but our night, it was great, too. We got so many good stuff. We got Black, we got Corduroy, State of Love and Trust, Rearview Mirror, Breath, Elderly Woman, and, oh, God, there's so many good ones. They closed with Yellow Ledbetter, which I'd never heard before live, so that was amazing. It was worth it. Better Man, I don't even know if I ever heard that one live either, but I think I have. It was great. It was fantastic. Eddie sounded great. He's not losing his voice at all. He's looking younger than ever, I think.
He told a dad joke, and like the crowd was like
groaning.
And he's all like, "Fuck you,
dad." Yeah. Speaking of which, he brought both of his daughters out on stage. Pearl Jam did a cover of a White Stripes song, We're Gonna Be Friends.
Yeah.
So they dedicated that to the teachers, in their children's lives or whatever, you know, teachers in America. So both his daughters came out, which they're huge now. I remember when they were born. Now they're like these big you know, tall girls, and they were like brought their teachers, their favorite teachers out, and so it was really nice to watch them dance to the song while their dad played it on acoustic guitar. It was dope. Everybody sounded good. Mike McCready, amazing on the guitar, just freaking wailing on the guitar, and Matt Cameron on drums sounded great. Stone Gossard also on guitar sounded great. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know who's bass guitar, but whatever. Anyway, they both sounded great. I'm not. Was not disappointed, so it was a good show. Good show.
My favorite part was his little story about how he had befriended an African American, a big African American homeless guy
named Eddie.
Named Eddie, who would like put a globe in front of his shopping cart, and you know walk around town like that. And like every time he would leave town and come back, he would ask for him. Like he'd hit the streets and he'd be like, "Hey, you guys know where that guy's at?" You know, and like he'd like look for him until finally he came back one time and he found out he died, and it just threw me off because that was the inspiration for
Evenflo.
And I'm like, oh man,
yeah, it's about a homeless man.
Yeah, yeah. It was really good a good story that felt real.
And this band is not a band that's gonna do a tight 90 minute show. This band is here to play until you are dead on your feet, tired. They played for, I would say, almost three and a half hours. No opening band.
The only other person that I've heard do that was Vicente Fernandez. Like, he's there until, like, people are sleeping.
Until you're, like, dead on your feet. They turn the lights on, and these guys keep playing.
Oh, that's why they did that.
Yeah.
I thought it was to get a different atmosphere or something, but they turned on the lights to kick them off, huh?
They turned the lights. I don't know if they were kicking them out, but, like, the lights came on Safeco, and Pearl Jam kept playing. They didn't care. They played for, like, two more songs. And they're the only band I've ever seen play, like, 3.5 hour sets with no opener. That's the second time that's happened. That's just how they roll, and that's amazing because you get your money's worth, you know? I don't know, these weren't cheap tickets, and we came a long way to see them, but I think it was totally worth it, and no regrets. And yeah, so what was after that? Just get the journey to get home.
Yeah, oh, also we got merch.
Oh yeah, we got merch.
That was, when was that?
That was Monday.
That was a Mariner day,
no,
right?
That was Sunday, yeah.
Sunday, we got, they had a tent that they had open even before the concerts, that where you could go and like at your leisure from certain times. What were the times?
Yeah, it was just several days leading up to the concert, and one of them was happened to be Sunday when we were there.
They
for
must
the
have got a bundle for
a
that.
A lot of merch
because
must
like
have been sold.
You could see like there was a place on the field where they were playing where you could get the merch and you could see the line from like where we were sitting.
It's huge,
and it was huge. So you figure you got that plus all the days that they're there, man, they must have made a bundle.
And again, they're raising money for homelessness, so, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Even
better, because then, you know, it's not just going to the band's pocket. It's going to the, you know, to help other people out. Yeah, we got our merch. I got a couple of shirts beforehand, and they were great. I was not going to make that line again, though, because, you know, I just was like, should I go back and get in line? No way. That line was way too big.
Well, you figure we went on Sunday, like, days before they played, and they were, like, sold out on certain sizes for shirts.
Yeah, they were already sold out on sizes. Really crazy.
Yeah, I got a hat, which I love.
Which is what you're wearing right now.
Which I'm wearing right now. I just love this thing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's, like, black mesh hat, and it says Pearl Jam in red letters, and then it has a picture of a skull wearing a baseball helmet, and he's got like a barbed wire bat behind him. It's actually pretty freaking cool. It's a pretty dope hat.
Yeah, it's a trucker's hat.
It's like a trucker hat, but it's got his Pearl Jam on it, so it's not annoying.
Yeah, so we got the merch that day, and let's see here.
Trying to take the bus home.
Oh,
because
yeah.
We were going to do that $100 Uber ride.
Yeah, so we knew the Uber was going to be like damn near
horrible.
Impossible to get. And we've heard horror stories where it's like, yeah, I woke up the next day and I'm like, $200 for an Uber.
Yeah.
So, and then we were passing by these guys and they're like, $100
for an Uber. $100 for a Lyft or an Uber that night.
So we're like, we gotta make this bus ride happen. So we go to the stop and like the streets are closed by cops. And then we're walking the wrong way, and then we come back, and I'm like, all right, I think I know how to do this.
Yeah.
And then you were the one that noticed that people were going downstairs.
Yeah. I saw people going down under the underpass of the freeway, And I saw buses and stuff. I saw, like, people taking different buses down there.
Yeah, so we go down there and we walk. We keep walking. And finally, we get to a spot where we see the bus that we need.
Yeah, the bus we need.
And so we get on the bus that comes down. And it has an X after it. So we needed the 26, but we got on the 26X. Which we found out was the express. Which means that it has less stops.
Uh-huh.
So we were talking to the bus driver. I wouldn't necessarily say he was nice, but he wasn't mean.
Yeah.
And he was just to the point, and he told you what you needed to know.
Yeah.
So we were, like, asking him questions.
I was showing him my phone.
He was very knowledgeable. He's like, no, this won't get you there. So we were like, okay, so how do you think we should go about this? And then finally we got off.
Yeah, he told me, because he saw my Google Translate.
Third in Virginia, right?
Third in Virginia. He was like, he's like, you can get off there. He's like, and then you can catch your E-line back to your hotel, back to the Aurora area. So that's where we needed to go.
And the buses were full, but they weren't overflowing to the point where people couldn't get on board.
It's actually fine that they were full, because I was scared that we were going to be, like, on a bus with nobody else going where we were going. You know, and, like, scary homeless people. We're total LA people. You have to understand that. We drive everywhere, so we don't take buses or trains. So this is all really just new to us. And
we took a lot of Ubers on account of, I would make the, you know, I would just say, like, man, I don't know about these bus rides. Because because of the place we were staying at, like we were talking about, it was kind of dodgy.
Yeah.
So we weren't feeling the public transportation, but on this day, we weren't going to pay $100.
No, hell no.
We put our safety on the line to keep those $100.
Yeah, and I'm glad the buses were packed and full of people, and everybody was wearing Pearl Jam shirts, so I know we weren't doing the wrong thing. So.
Yeah.
And we miraculously got off where the bus driver told us to. We got on another bus, and it was our E-bus. It was, like, the next bus or whatever, and it took us straight right to the front of our hotel.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, man, I felt, like, so relieved when it was all over.
So, the next day is our flight home.
Yeah, it was the end of our trip.
We stayed there for 5 days.
Yeah.
And, just the food on the airports is horrible.
Yeah, it's a lawless land.
I think I'm just killing that subject, because it must have been, it's been talked about before.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Everyone knows that airport food is way too expensive and not very good.
Flavortown had a sandwich there.
What's his name? Guy Fieri.
And it's horrible. I opened the sandwich and this hair is there to greet me.
Ew.
I'm like, oh no, it's not bleached, so it's not his. But it must be one of the workers.
It is one of the workers. And then on the way back, we had at the airport, at the SeaTac airport, Jose brought me a Southwest chicken sandwich from Starbucks.
Dry.
Mostly just bread. Yeah. Just a big old piece of French bread and, like, a little bit of meat and a little bit of chipotle sauce. It was terrible.
Price was forgiving, though. That Starbucks at the airport, the prices are better than, like, anything else you're going to find there.
That's crazy.
So, like, at least it was that. But, like, I was like, hey, we better get food because, like, we need to take it on this flight.
Yeah. We're stuck on the airport for, like, an extra hour or whatever because the freaking plane before our plane was taking forever to leave, so then we had to wait. Then our plane was delayed, and then when we made our connection in Sacramento, we missed our plane, so we had to wait for another plane.
You know what, though?
More food at the airport.
In retrospect, after what happened, I'm okay with that, because what happened? Like, yesterday.
Oh, yeah, yesterday. Oh, so we got home Thursday night. Yesterday, Friday night, we hear that a guy working at the SeaTac airport jacked a Alaska Airlines plane, a small turbojet or whatever, and went on a joyride, and then he crashed off the coast of, Seattle or whatever. So
yeah,
it's just so sad.
We heard the audios, and it seemed like he was just, like, at his wit's end about, like, minimum wage or something.
He was suicidal or something. Poor guy. He's saying he had some screws loose and he recognized that he wasn't mentally well and he hadn't gotten
He was
help.
Coherent.
Yeah, he was coherent.
That's why I was, like, I felt for the guy. I'm like, well, he's not, like, 100%, like, far gone. He's not doing this, like, 100% because he's crazy. there's like he said he was like, I'm just a broken guy. I'm a
broken guy, and my family, you know, there's family that I'm, you know, disappointing or whatever. I don't want to paraphrase too much what he was saying, but yeah, we missed the whole debacle at SeaTac. Yeah. They grounded a bunch of air planes, and so we missed that disaster there. But poor guy.
Yeah, RideWire, this guy that I follow who does car stuff. He got caught up because he was trying to go to Alaska and he couldn't go.
Yeah, I was in Alaska Airlines, but yeah, so that was Seattle there in a very large nutshell. I think
we're about hitting an hour.
Okay, so we should wrap this up. I'm so sorry, everybody. We are just rambling. We just want to tell everybody how much fun we had in Seattle. It was a great trip, and as a success.
Success. Yatta!
We did it. We did it. So hopefully this inspires Jose to continue to want to travel with me, because I love traveling and I love visiting new stadiums and I love going to concerts, and so does he. So hopefully we get to do this next summer again in a new location. Last year was Chicago.
What band do we love? Seattle. No, what other band in another town we could get like a...
We could do this again? I don't know. It's going to take some planning. Well, talk to me in the spring.
Yeah, this was very, like, on the fly. Like, we hear about, like, Pearl Jam.
Yeah, I heard about Pearl Jam.
We're planning this trip, and we're, like...
Mariners were in town. Yeah. So, yeah, it worked out really well. We'll see what next summer brings for Sylvia and Jose. Where we're going to go. Yeah.
So, maybe we'll hit your town.
Yeah.
All right, guys. That was our podcast. Thanks for listening, if you made it this far. And
you're awesome.
You're awesome, guys. Bye. Bye.